That's.
No, no. And this isn't a preview, that's true. But you know what?
I can't start till, is it okay?
Good morning, are we ready to go? Welcome, everybody, and would the clerk call the roll?
Commissioner Ashajian. Commissioner Burke. Commissioner Baird. Commissioner Wesel.
Here.
Commissioner Secord. Commissioner Neely.
Here.
Commissioner Potter.
Here.
Commissioner Riley.
Here.
Commissioner Schallenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chairman Kruer.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Very good. Thank you. With that, I'll turn back to staff, and you can cover the changes to today's agenda and the procedures for today's hearing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the audience, if you wish to speak on an item on today's agenda, please fill out a speaker slip. They're located outside the meeting room on the table. And when in the meeting room, please turn off all cell phones or PDAs because they interfere with the reception in our webcast. Next, I'll go over the changes on today's agenda, starting on page 3. There are no changes. Page 4, there are no changes. Moving on to page 5, item 16A, Wave Enterprise application, move to consent. Page 6, item 19B, City of Laguna Beach LCP amendment. They are requesting a postponement, and the commission must grant this request. So we'll deal with that postponement request when we get to that item on today's agenda. Item 20A, County of Los Angeles, that item has been postponed. Moving on to page 7, item 22, the cease and desist order for Macar Properties, that is postponed. Item 25A, the Poseidon Resources revised findings are postponed. And Peter is requesting that we trail the statewide items until the end of today's agenda.
We'll do that, and then we'll move right off into the South Central Coast District.
The first item is item 9, and these are the administrative permits for the South Central Coast District. Staff is not aware of any opposition to the one administrative permit and recommends the commission concur with the executive director's determination that this item qualifies for issuance as an administrative permit.
Any objection to finding concurrence with that? Hearing none, the commission concurs.
Item number 10, these are the consent calendar permits for the South Central Coast District. There is an addendum for the two items on the consent calendar to correct a number identification for the two notices of impending development. Staff is not aware of any opposition to the permit applications in the consent calendar and recommends the commission vote and approve the consent calendar.
Move consent.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Riley and seconded by Vice Chair Neely. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the consent calendar.
Mr. Chairman, relative to the statewide items, I just want to mention that item 8B, that's the public hearing on the whale tail grants. I would like to bring that up when the staff person working on it, Sylvie Lee, is here. She's on her way, so that won't be trailed till the end. I'll just mention it when we're ready to bring it up, if that's okay with you.
That's fine, Mr.
Okay.
Douglas.
Thank
we'll
you.
Do it that way.
Okay.
Okay? So.
Good morning, Commissioners. Next item is number 12.
Yes.
Next item is number 12.
Yes. Consent calendar.
This is the consent calendar for the South Coast District. And I'd like to draw your attention to the addendum. There's a minor correction for item 12B, and 12A has generated a number of letters of opposition. Some are signed with multiple signatures in the addendum. There's a neighborhood petition that's signed by a number of property owners. There was also a separate handout distributed to you as a response from the applicant, and additional letter of opposition distributed today. The project is for demolition of an existing residence and construction of a new 3,400-square-foot, two-story residence on the oceanfront lot in Seal Beach. And the site is located adjacent to the public beachfront walkway in this location, and there is zero setback proposed from the property line that's adjacent to the walkway. The letters identify that zero setback as one item of concern, and there's also concerns regarding the design of the rooftop deck, the number of chimneys, a fireplace on the rooftop deck, and skylights. And due to this amount of opposition, staff has double-checked our review of this project. We find that the project is consistent with the city's standards. There was no variances that were required for the height limit or any other reason for the project. We've looked at the permit history and the development pattern and identified that there are several sites where the commission and the city has approved a zero or minimal setback from the boardwalk here, including the site next door. In some cases, minimal or no setback from a public boardwalk like this can be a coastal issue, but in this case, the scale and the design of the structures is such that an increased setback would not provide much in the way of mitigation for the impact of these structures from the public use of the boardwalk or would improve any public views. So we feel that the pattern is of fairly large structures immediately adjacent to the boardwalk. The site happens to be one remaining with a smaller home on the inland portion of the lot, so there will be greater impacts to neighboring views as a result. But we don't feel there's any issues of statewide concern raised in the letters that have not been addressed in the staff report, and we would recommend that the item remain on the consent calendar. And Jack has a comment on item 12C.
Okay, we also have received a late letter of opposition for item 12C, which is an application for a single-family residence in San Pedro on a blufftop lot. The opponent is raising issues related to private view protection and concerns related to geologic stability of the site. Protection of private views, as Commission knows, is not a Coastal Act issue. And regarding the geology issue, the applicant has submitted an engineering geologic report that indicates the project, as proposed with this caisson grade beam foundation, will be safe from any landslide, settlement, or slippage. And the City of Los Angeles Department of Building and Safety has also approved the proposed foundation design. Staff is also recommending a special condition that requires the applicant to conform with all the geotechnical recommendations outlined in the geology report, and staff is recommending that this item remain on the consent calendar. Staff is not aware of any other opposition to the other permit applications on the consent calendar, and we recommend the commission vote and approve the consent calendar.
Thank you, Mr. Ainsworth. Before I call on the consent calendar for a motion, I have a couple speaker slips. So in light of that, I'd like to ask any of my colleagues, are there any ex parties starting on my left? No ex parties? Okay. With that, I have a couple speaker slips on 12A. So I'll open the public hearing. Janice Dahl. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Come on up and state your name for the record. And how much time are you requesting, ma'am? Fine. That's fine. Can you turn your microphone on or put it? No, just speak into it.
Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Janice Dahl. I live in the coastal zone nearby to Joanna and Jack Bettenhausen, who are opposing the project, and the neighbors of the applicants. I'm here in support of Joanna and Jack Bettenhausen as a friend, nearby resident within the coastal zone, and I'm also an appraiser. I have been an appraiser for 25 years, and I am a general certified appraiser. That's the highest obtainable license by the state of California. I appraise from San Diego to Malibu. And in all of my years of appraising houses along the beach, I have never seen a house with such excessive features, especially pollution emitting features such as six fireplaces and 10-foot skylights. As a resident of the coastal zone and advocate of coastal protection, this will be setting precedent for excessive building on the beach, which is not the vision or spirit of the state's Coastal Act. And I want to really hone in on those on the skylights that they have. because a 6-foot skylights at night has never been seen along the beach, the 10-foot skylights. Not only is it light pollution for the residents around that house, but also it's light pollution for the community and the beach. And in the Coastal Act, it does dwell on light pollution. And to have 6 fireplaces along the beach in Southern California on one residence, it's just unimaginable that a house in Southern California needs 6 fireplaces. I mean, it's a smoke-emitting factory. And why there has to be this excess is beyond me. It's just not seen on the beach. I've never seen such excess. And I have appraised houses up to 25,000 square feet, and I haven't seen this sort of excess for one house on the beach. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Stephen Liss, would you like to speak, or are you just here to answer questions?
My name is Stephen Liss. I'm the homeowner that's trying to build our home on the beach.
How much time, sir, are you requesting?
I guess 2 or 3 minutes.
Fine.
I just have a short presentation in response to the barrage of faxes saying how we're building something bigger, you know, more obtrusive than anything else that's ever been built in that area. That's not my slide, but that's my house there. And probably 1309 COA.
Mr. Chairman, what amount of time have you given the speaker?
Well, we gave him 2 minutes, but we stopped the clock. And,
right.
And
I just can't see the clock. I guess we...
All righty. Thank you. So, again, this is COA over here. Sorry, let me go back. And the first place you come to is a nice 3-story apartment building built right on the boardwalk. Here is another... very tall home built right on the boardwalk. Nice 6-7-foot wall with a very small slit right on the boardwalk. A nice, 3-story home with 5 antennas. Why people need 5 antennas, I do not know, but they're there. Now, bear in mind, most of these places would not be built according to the standards that are there right now. I could never build anything of this nature. Nice, 7-foot walls. They have some people paint them. Nice 3-story apartment building. I could never build that. Nice, tall house with a huge sun deck or whatever, observation deck. I could never build that. This is my block, a nice 3-story apartment building. The one next door is the height limit right now. This is as tall as I can go. This is a fireplace. This is a fireplace. There is a nice big box with fireplace flues. This person here has the largest fireplace you will ever see anywhere. It's a 6-7-foot stone round fireplace. This is my neighbor. We received a letter from... He has a nice big dog house there. I cannot build that. That's way too big. In fact, they turned down my request for a dog house that was much smaller than that. The neighbor behind us, you have a letter from him. He has a nice dog house in the back so he could access his roof. We, of course, don't. This is my house here. We're trying to get to the boardwalk. This is Mrs. Bittenhouse's house here. She is built to the boardwalk. She, of course, put an air conditioner on there because it wasn't cool enough at the beach without a permit. And that is their little thing there. Again, another apartment on our block built right to the boardwalk. There's the wall. There's the person riding a bike. Nice. Yeah, tall walls, mainly because we get the winter storms, and they build up a 10, 12-foot berm. Oh, and then here's another nice big structure right on the boardwalk. And again, you know, a nice big, huge roof deck up there. Some more antennas right in front. And here are the twins, two three-story buildings built right on the boardwalk. Oh, and here is another one, two, three-story.
Ask him.
And another on the boardwalk.
Wait, sir.
Sir?
Yeah, okay.
Your time's up.
Okay.
We've seen a lot of buildings here.
I'm sorry. You know, in conclusion, I'm just trying to build a home that I'm allowed to build by the city. I can't build anything more than, you know, I can't build a duplex. I can't build an apartment. I'm building a home. That's
thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing. And
Mr. Chairman, there was another party that put in a speaker slip, and apparently we didn't get it up to you or something.
Okay. That's fine. I
must have
open the public hearing. We only had two speaker slips.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Ma'am, how much time are you requesting?
As much as possible. I'm representing the entire neighborhood.
How about 3 minutes?
I'll do what I can. Thank
you. Okay, 3 minutes. And
you can move the mic up.
State your name for the record, please.
My name is Joanne Bettenhausen. I live next door to the property that's being proposed. It's the largest property for a single-family home and the most excessive that is on the boardwalk. It's easy to show all of the exceptions, and some of these places that he's showing are on larger lots. In the past, they've been required they've been allowed to go 3 feet. The city is, at this time, at this moment, is creating a new set of codes. They're almost ready because of this type of overbuilding. They want to keep Seal Beach small. Seal Beach is a small beach town. It's different than other places along the coast. This is something that's unique. And this is, if you don't know Seal Beach, it's right on the border of Orange County and Los Angeles County. If you go inland, it's all big urban sprawl. This is one of the few places that is left that people can come and actually get away from the urban sprawl that's inland. And people come because it has an old town atmosphere. We even call Seal Beach Old Town. And the house is mostly, you'll see the pictures that we presented. I mean, they're mostly smaller homes than duplexes that were built back before, some of them before World War II, and most of them have only received facelifts. There's only one other in the first 5 blocks. It's only 7 blocks long that has even ever been raised, and I don't even think there's that. In 2003, you approved a project that's at 1607 Sealway. It's also on the boardwalk. It's around the bend, and we showed you a picture. You saying that, you know, it was said in the report that this was compatible. It's set back 7 inches from the boardwalk, not a zero setback like this house is asking for. The only zero setback that goes straight up, and then it has a roof deck of the maximum 500 square feet on top of that, and everything else that we talked to you about. The one that you approved before, back in 2003, has just it has a big entrance setback on half of the property. It has a front deck like practically every single home or residence on the boardwalk has. They're all set back with these front decks. 40 years ago, they were given 6 feet in front of their homes, and practically everybody put on a front deck, and that's kind of the beach house look that we're trying to maintain. There's very few homes, very, very few residences, only 4 in the first 5 blocks out of 43 homes that even have a roof deck on top. This one not only wants a roof deck, they want an inner roof deck that will raise the family and everything
time,
on
Mr.
it.
Time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Stand over. Think about the 9 skylights and three large chimneys for six fireplaces for a small single-family home. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I'll close the public hearing. I'll go back. Staff, is there any?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, let me just make a couple of observations. I understand from the parties who traveled up here to the meeting that this is an issue of concern to them and their neighborhood. But these are the kinds of issues that are most properly resolved at the local government level. The Commission has a long history of dealing with neighborhood issues and has tried to make it clear that as much as you understand and sympathize with the local controversy, under the Coastal Act and the LCP, it doesn't rise to the level that this Commission should get involved in those kinds of issues. They're really local neighborhood issues. If the local government didn't address it appropriately, your remedy would be at the ballot box next time, maybe. But it isn't here, and we've heard nothing here that raises a Coastal Act issue, as we see it, or LCP issue, and we would recommend that it stays on the consent calendar.
Commissioner Riley?
Move consent.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Riley, seconded by Commissioner Secord. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on the consent calendar? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously approves the consent calendar. With that, we'll go to South Central 13, Deputy Director's Report.
Yes, the next item is item number 13, which is a Deputy Director's Report for the South Central District, which is a list of the waivers, immaterial amendments, and immaterial extensions for the district. I would also like to report on one emergency permit in District Director's Report to replace a small amount of rock riprap along a section of road shoulder to protect some road fill adjacent to a newly constructed box culvert over Topanga Creek. The recent rains have eroded the fill supporting the road, and the rock will be placed in the stream channel. And this is a project proposed by LA County Department of Public Works. Staff is not aware of any opposition to the items in the district director's report and recommends the commission concur with the executive director's determination on these matters.
Is there any objection to finding concurrence with the executive director's determinations? Hearing none, the commission concurs.
The next item up is item 13A, and this is a certification review for the County of Santa Barbara LCP Amendment MAJ2-06 to modify the coastal zoning ordinance portion of its LCP to revise public noticing and appeal process requirements. The county has formally agreed to accept the commission's action on the LCP amendment, and staff recommends the commission concur with the executive director's determination that their actions are legally adequate and this amendment can be effectively certified.
Any objection to finding concurrence with the executive director's determination? Hearing none, the commission concurs.
The next item is item number 14, and these are permit items staff is recommending we move to the consent calendar. Staff is recommending one regular calendar item be moved to the consent calendar, and that is item number 16A, the Wave Enterprise permit application. Staff recommends the commission vote and approve this one item.
Moved by Commissioner Riley, seconded by Commissioner Burke. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the consent calendar.
The next item up is item 15A, and this is a request for an extension of time to consider the City of Malibu's Local Coastal Program Amendment 3-07. The amendment proposes to add land use policies and development standards for and related to a proposed Malibu Parks Public Access Enhancement Overlay District. This is this controversial amendment, LCP amendment from the City of Malibu that essentially bans camping in the city. The Coastal Act provides for the Commission to extend its time limit for action on LCP amendments for up to 1 year. And due to workload and staffing constraints, staff is requesting an extension of the 90-day time limit to act on this LCP amendment for a period not to exceed 1 year. The motion to extend the time limit can be found at the bottom of page one of the staff report. And this concludes staff's presentation on this item.
Commissioners, motion.
90. Number MAJ307 for 1 year. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Akajian, seconded by Commissioner Secord. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the time extension.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just perhaps a gratuitous observation, but this is the item that I've brought to your attention before that we've indicated to the city is really a waste of everybody's time, because we indicated to them right from the beginning that we didn't see any way that this could be approved consistent with the Coastal Act. They're insisting on having brought it forward, and we'll have to bring it to you when we get the staff resources to put together an analysis. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
I was waiting to hear from you on this one. Thank you. Okay. Then we'll go to the South Coast District.
Yes, the next item, 17, is the Deputy Director's report for the South Coast District. This is a list of waivers, non-material amendments, and extensions for the South Coast District. Staff has received one letter of objection to the de minimis waiver number 508001 NOVAC, which is for demolition and construction of a 2,800 square foot home in Seal Beach. The stated concerns relate to mold and mildew, asbestos, private view blockage, and parking. And we have also received a response from the applicant that has addressed all of these issues, we believe, adequately. This is an inland lot. It's not between the ocean and the First Coastal roadway. The home is consistent with the pattern of development and previous commission action in this area. It's consistent with all city standards without any variances. And there are no issues that have been identified that are coastal issues that we feel should be addressed in full review of the project. So we would urge that the commission waive the permit requirement as recommended by staff. And in terms of the deputy director's report, we would urge that the commission approve the deputy director's report.
Yeah, right. Any objection to finding concurrence with the executive director's report? Hearing none, the commission concurs. Okay. Go.
And item 19A is the time extension request for the City of Dana Point LCP Amendment Number 1-07. And the amendment request relates to development of the Dana Point Headlands, which would remove one public access trail and modify the upland trail system. This LCP amendment was submitted in September and filed complete on January 11th. To meet the 90-day time limit for review and action on the land use plan amendment, it would have to be heard by April 11th, which is in the middle of next month's hearing, and staff knows that we need additional time, that it would not be ready for the April hearing, so we scheduled the time extension this month. The City of Dana Point has submitted a letter indicating that a one-year time extension would not be acceptable to them or to the developer. And as you know, the commission typically approves the time extension for up to 1 year, not necessarily with the idea that it would take that long, but just to avoid having to reschedule multiple time extensions in the event that our estimates are wrong or it takes longer to resolve some issues than we anticipate. And in this case, also, the city has two LCP amendments that were submitted before this one. One is for the town center plan, and one is for the harbor revitalization plan, that are much more extensive, and we will have to work with the city if they want to prioritize our work on this LCP amendment over those two. But that's something that we can work out with the city. We would urge that the commission grant the time extension for the one-year period, and we'll schedule this item as soon as possible at a Southern California meeting.
Okay. Ex-parties, please, starting my left. Any ex-parties?
Mr. Chair, I had a conversation with Sanford Edwards on the telephone on Monday where he expressed some concerns about the length of time it was taking to get this forward, and indicated also, as we've gotten a letter from the city, that they have asked that it be scheduled for April, and if it were scheduled for April, then there wouldn't necessarily be a need for a time extension.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley. Anyone else? Commissioner Burr?
My mistake. I didn't turn my light on quick enough. I had exactly the same conversation with Mr. Edwards yesterday that Commissioner Riley just described.
Thank you, Commissioner Potter. Anyone else? Okay. With that, and then Commissioner Wan, I'm going to open the public.
Yes.
At this time, I'll open the public hearing and call up Sanford Edwards. How much time are you requesting, sir?
3 minutes.
Okay, 3 minutes.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Sanford Edward. I own the property. We have a pretty just straightforward situation. We're trying to deliver some public amenities. We want to get them to the public in a timely fashion. And we think that the Coastal Act really is set up to kind of have a basic fairness to the procedure. I'm going to preface my statements by saying you have a great staff. They work hard. They're smart. And we're in a situation where we submitted our, the city rather, submitted the application on October 2nd. And, you know, I read the rules. The staff has 15 days to deem the application complete. Otherwise, it is complete. And they sent us a letter on the 16th day. So I thought, well, geez, they missed it here, and we're gonna get here pretty soon. And lo and behold, you know, I check with a couple attorneys, and I find out, boy, there's a holiday in there in October that I didn't know about, Columbus Day. So what it really points out to me is that staff knows exactly what's going on in terms of writing the letters, et cetera. We received 3 requests to provide additional materials. We did. Each time it took about a month to review, which, you know, I feel is perfectly reasonable. The last submittal that we submitted was on January 11th. We contacted staff in mid-February and asked, is our application complete? Lo and behold, they deemed it complete retroactive to that last submittal. So, in essence, you know, this is an issue of staff's own making. Had they deemed the application complete on February 20th, we would have been able to get to the April or the May hearing, which are both local, with no issue as it relates to the 90 days. And the problem with the one-year extension is the next local hearing after May doesn't come back until October. So we're looking at an additional 5 to 6 months. And it's a straightforward issue. I'm optimistic we're going to get a staff recommendation for approval. I don't think it'll take more than 20 minutes of the commission's time when it comes in front of you. And as in sum, you know, in a best-case world, I don't know how staff spent absolutely no time reviewing the January submittal. Again, if the completion date was February 20th, we wouldn't have an issue. Short of that, if we did say to staff, we'd be more than happy to agree to a 60-day extension, which would give them enough time to get us here by April or May. So it would be our request that that the commission would either amend the completion date to February 20th or limit the extension to 60 days. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Kyle Butterwick, City of Dana Point. And how much time, sir, are you requesting?
2 minutes should suffice. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Kyle Butterwick. I am the Director of Community Development for the City of Dana Point. And you have received a letter from the city expressing concerns about the staff recommendation for a full 12-month extension of time. This is a very important project for the city. The request as part of this coastal plan amendment does concern public improvements. The city is very anxious to accept the dedications of these improvements and make these public amenities available to the general public as soon as we can. I do recognize and appreciate the fact that the city does have several other large-scale projects that are pending before the Coastal Commission. It's been a very long wait on our town center plan in particular. That one-year kind of drop-dead deadline does occur in May of this year. I don't think that we have the luxury of any further extensions or time from that particular project. Nevertheless, the project before you today, by comparison, is relatively straightforward. We went through a very smooth hearing process at the local level. We're not anticipating public controversy or public input, for that matter, as part of this request. And the fact of the matter is, I believe that the commission staff and this body could deal with this proposed amendment in a relatively straightforward fashion. I can see that our town center plan, the harbor plan, our long-range planning documents are more involved, more complicated. and it certainly will take more time and attention from everybody. So I would recommend that the commission grant a very short extension of time on this and be prepared to deal with it within the next couple of months. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Butterwick. And is that on the same item? No, okay. Thank you. I'll close the public hearing, go back to staff. And maybe you want to touch on our budget issues maybe a little bit, or I'll have Commissioner Schallenberg or Commissioner Berg about our staffing, you know.
I'll let Director Douglas make those comments. Just in terms of the workload for this particular item, though, I think that Mr. Butterwick has identified some of the exact concerns that staff has or the problems that we have as we tend to deal with the items that are more expeditious, and we don't take the time on LCP amendments that take a lot of time. And, you know, we try to get the permits out the door, and we don't take the time that's necessary to work on LCP amendments. And we're getting quite a backlog in the South Coast District because of that. We do have, as I said, two large LCP amendments from the city of Dana Point that the one planner that we have to work on that, those is work are now working on. So we can take this out of order. We could get it on the April agenda, but it would delay those other items. And I don't think that's exactly what the city intends. They also want those items to be on April or May. And the one, as he indicated, has to be on May. So I don't think that's something that the commission should take their time with today. I think that we can work with the city and try to prioritize these items and figure out the best scheduling. I think a time extension for up to 1 year is reasonable. We won't take that long, I assure you. And I think that's all I have to say.
Director Douglas?
Just to follow up on what Sherilyn said, the request is always, from our perspective, for no more than 1 year, because that's the limit of the extension. That doesn't mean it's going to take that long. But I don't know whether we have communicated effectively to the property owner and the city here, but the staffing situation for the commission is in crisis. And I know you hear it a lot at almost every meeting, but we are so down in staff, and the result has been delays for both permits and LCPs, that we're having a hard time meeting the statutory deadlines. We're intending to do it here, but it's because of the staffing situation, and we're looking at, as you well know, another 17 position cuts in the budget. We're already down 10. So, and we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to the statewide items. But that's, unfortunately, the reality that we're dealing with. We'll prioritize with the city, and we'll bring this back as soon as we can. It won't be a year, for sure. But to condition this within a time limit that we aren't going to be sure we're going to be able to meet, we just don't think is a good policy at this point.
Also, I thank you for those comments. I mean, we get requests all the time for people who want to move up or try to, you know, everybody's in the same problem right now, and we really have to pick to prioritize the issues, as Ms. Sarb talked about, and make sure that we meet those statutory issues and deadlines. And we have requests all the time for people that everybody's in the same boat, and it is a problem. We're a serious crisis in our staffing situation. It's only going to get worse. So anyway, we're trying to do the best that we can do, and I think you've heard that from Director Douglas, and I'll entertain any questions. Commissioner Riley, do you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I'm hearing staff say is that they're capable of getting this back in April, but they got to choose between priorities, and they want to talk to the city. We've got a letter from the city that, at least as I read it, indicates that this is a priority, and perhaps a city representative would come up and comment directly on that. But the letter that we got from Doug Chalky seems to indicate that the city's asking for this to be brought forward as a priority. Is that correct?
That is correct. This is a priority for the city, primarily due to the fact of the public amenities that are offered as part of this project, and the request before you is precisely associated with those public amenities.
All right.
Well, my tendency is to ask for continuance on this rather than granting a year's time extension. If staff can bring it back in April, that's clearly the city priority of their proposals that are in. And if they brought it back in April, we wouldn't need to do a time extension. And if for some reason they can't manage that, then they can still bring a time extension back next month and do it that way. But I'd like to, if the city's prioritizing it, I don't know what staff discussion needs to happen on that.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley. Commissioner Wan?
Deleting a public access way is not a priority for us. So, you know, we have some problems with this. And prioritization should be a two-way conversation. And they may say that they want this prioritized over everything else, but we're not sure that that's the proper
Well, staff's still saying they could bring it back in April or May, and if they bring it back in April, you don't need a time extension.
Why don't you answer it?
The problem with not granting a time extension is then the date that it has to be acted on is in the middle of the April agenda, and so it reduces our flexibility on scheduling. We'd have to make sure that this item was scheduled either the first or second day of the meeting. We like to try to avoid that situation if possible.
Commissioner Wan?
Yeah. Here's the problem I have with this. Given our staffing constraints, I also heard staff say that they have an LCP amendment that's a drop-dead date in May. So if they do this, then they don't have the ability to work on that one because we know they can't work on a lot of things. And I've also heard staff say that this may not be as simple an issue as the city is an applicant or stating. So I cannot see how we can tie our staff's hands and say, you must have this done by April. Because staff has just told you, if you give them a continuance, then they really are forced to get this done by April. So I think you give the staff at least the ability to deal with this and urge them to bring it back as quickly as they can. But it is something that they need to deal with this issue. They need to deal with the two other issues, and one of which has a May deadline, which I don't know how the staff that we have can handle everything.
I'd like to just add a little bit here. We deal with these time extensions all the time, and there's always this request from the applicant, and rightfully so, that they'd like to have it as early as possible, and staff does what they can do to work with them, they come back. I think we've been very clear in the past that we've had many time extensions and we do it this way, the 90-day, and encourage the staff and the applicant to try to do it as early as possible and prioritize it. And that's still, from one commissioner, it would still be my preferable way than to play Russian roulette and just wait till the last second here and then not be able to get the staff report done adequately and right and decide which way to go. But I would encourage staff to see what they can do to work with the applicant here and try to bring this forward and look at what the city's doing with the other project too and try to work out with the applicant, work together to do the best you can. Anyone else before I ask for the
Mr. Chair, if I might, my tendency is to concur with Commissioner Riley on his thoughts. I'm curious as to whether the applicant actually understands what Commissioner Riley was proposing. Mr. Edwards, do you have a thought here? And I realize you're not the applicant, but you are the representative.
One thing I think it's important for the commission to realize is, in terms of priority, this project was first submitted to the commission back in 2002, was approved in 2004. In terms of being in the queue and waiting, we waited 2.5 years, and we're not asking for special treatment. We just want to be treated fairly with all due respect to staff. This is a problem of their own creation by, making the completion date January 11th. So that being what it is, if they took the time to carefully count, include Columbus Day in that 15-day response.
Mr. Edwards?
Yes.
You covered this in your earlier testimony. And it isn't, I don't beg to differ with you. Speaking as a developer now, it's not by their own creation. I mean, I get calls daily about this problem with staffing and issues of trying to prioritize and get these things. It's a problem not only for you, it's a problem for everybody.
I recognize that.
Okay.
I recognize that. And had they deemed the completion date in February, we wouldn't be here.
Not necessarily, but you've given your testimony, and we appreciate it, and we appreciate if you'd work with staff, just as one commissioner, and see what you can do to move this up. And I understand where you're coming from, but you're not the only one out there in this position right now.
I recognize. Okay. I appreciate that.
Okay?
Okay.
So thank you for your testimony. Okay. Commissioner Juan?
Yes. I move the commission extend the time period for one up to 1 year.
Moved by Commissioner Juan, seconded by Commissioner Schallenberg. Would you speak to your motion, Commissioner Juan?
No, I think everybody has already spoken to it. I think that this isn't of the staff's making. This problem is of the making as a result of our lack of budget. We don't have staff, and we cannot tie their hands at this point when they are facing this kind of emergency. I would hope that this will get back, and they'll be able to deal with this. It may, if it's as simple an issue as the applicant and the city contend, then it doesn't even have to be at a local hearing. I mean, it'll be in front of this commission as soon as staff gets it done.
That's fine. Commissioner Schallenberg?
Only to add that there's been some talk about priorities in this, and I understand this is the city's priority. I think we have to listen to the statewide priorities, and if we were to not grant this extension, it would mean that not only did it have to come back at the next meeting, it had to come back by a certain day of the next meeting. And without us being in a position, and we should not be, as the commissioners, in a position to look at all of the issues coming before us from the entire coastal zone up and down the coast. So it's a matter of the Coastal Commission's priorities rather than the city's priorities of how important it is. So for that, I urge my fellow commissioners to vote yes on the extension and look forward to seeing it back as soon as staff is able to do that.
Commissioner Riley?
Thank you. In terms of the timing and the days, I can't remember in 10 or 11 years when we've done South Coast District on a Friday, but, you know, I'll accede to staff that it does impinge somewhat on their thing. Sherilyn, in your staff background report, you say likely April or May. I mean, is that a somewhat firm commitment? I mean, can you get that done?
It is possible for staff to get the work done by April or May. And if that's what the city wants us to do, then we can, as I said, pull staff off and focus on this one and get it on the agenda for April or May. So it is physically possible to do it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley. If there isn't anything else, I'd ask the clerk to call the roll. The maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote on the extension. Let me first try this before we call the roll. Let me ask, does anyone have an objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item for the extension? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the extension. Okay.
The next item is item 19B, and this is the City of Laguna Beach LCP Amendment 1-07C. The city has submitted a request for postponement of this item. It includes changes to the Land Use Plan Fuel Modification Program. It is an update to various other provisions in the city's implementation plan. The city has requested more time to review the staff recommendation, and several interested parties have also requested that this item be scheduled at a Southern California meeting location. Under the current time limits, the LCP amendment will have to be brought back next month, and staff does not object to this postponement today.
Okay. Any ex-parties from starting on my left? No ex-parties? Okay. From my colleagues? The pleasure of my colleagues on this, for they're asking for a postponement?
Move postponement.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Kajian, seconded by Commissioner Secord. Both the maker and the seconder are asking for a yes vote and for a postponement. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on the postponement? Hearing none, the postponement is unanimously agreed to. Okay.
The next item up is item 19C. The County of Los Angeles is requesting an amendment to its local coastal program for Catalina Island to change the land use plan designation for a 3,600-square-foot lot within the Two Harbors Resort Village area from a residential designation to a utilities service designation. This is necessary to accommodate the establishment of a new, modern, above-ground fuel storage facility at the site. The new fuel storage facility will replace the former below-ground fuel facility located near the Isthmus Cove Pier that was removed in 2003. There is only one fuel facility that serves land and water-based vehicles for emergency services, such as the county and sheriff, the county sheriff's department and the fire department in this area. The county has been operating a temporary fueling facility on the site, approved an emergency permit in 2003. The new facility is located approximately 400 feet from the shoreline in a lot currently used as a service yard for heavy equipment. The proposed location is the most appropriate location for this use because there's no priority land uses that will be displaced. There are no sensitive resources on this site and that will be affected, and the site is set back some 400 feet from the shoreline. The proposed amendment is consistent with Chapter 3 policies of the Act, and therefore staff is recommending approval of the amendment as submitted, and the motion for approval can be found on page 3 of the staff report. And this concludes staff's presentation on this item.
Thank you, Mr. Ainsworth. And with that, I'll ask for ex parties, starting on my left. Any ex parties? No ex parties. And with that, I'll open the public hearing. Olin Olson? Mr. Olson. How much time are you requesting, sir?
I'm just here to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Okay, I'll close the public hearing. Commissioners?
Mr. Chair, I move that the Commission certify land use plan amendment number 1-07 is submitted by the County of Los Angeles and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Secord and seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the certification of the LUP amendment and the adoption of the resolutions and findings that are contained in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion,
Commissioner Chair? Thank you.
Commissioner Akajian?
No, sir.
Okay. Any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously approves or hereby certifies the Santa Catalina Island Land Use Plan Amendment Number 1-07 for the County of Los Angeles and adopts the findings that are set forth in this staff report. Okay.
The next item up is item 20B, and I do have a PowerPoint for this item. If you could pull that up, please. Item 20B.
Hold on one second. Before you jump into that one, I was just handed three speaker slips for 20A, but that's already been postponed. Okay.
All right. Are we ready to roll on that PowerPoint, please? The City of Long, this is item 20B again. The City of Long Beach is proposing to install 45 mooring anchorages for a limited-term public boat mooring in two areas located just off of Belmont Pier and on the leeward side of White Island, as can be seen on this slide. Ten moorings for smaller boats will be sited in the waters east of the pier, of Belmont Pier, and 20 moorings for larger boats will be located in the waters just west of the pier, as can be shown in the slide number two here. 15 moorings for a mix of boat sizes are proposed in the waters just on the leeward side of White Island, which is an oil island in Long Beach Harbor there. The moorings will be available to the general public for short-term boat mooring. The city is prohibiting the use of liveaboards in this area, and a boater will be able to purchase a permit to use the mooring on a daily basis. Annual permits for moorings could also be purchased, although the maximum duration for any vessel to occupy a mooring is 10 days. After 10 days, a boater would have to vacate the mooring area and wait for another 10 days before being permitted to use the mooring again. Each mooring will be anchored by a single 4.2-meter soil anchor. A biological survey of the project area indicates that the proposed mooring area is a non-vegetated soft-bottom marine habitat, and the proposed moorings will not result in any significant adverse impacts to marine resources. Originally, the city was proposing 90 new moorings in the project area. However, in response to concerns from the Surf Rider Foundation, Department of Fish and Game, and other interested parties regarding increased boat traffic, potential impacts to water quality, and the loss of foraging area for marine birds such as brown pelican and lease terns, the city reduced the mooring area by half to 45 moorings to minimize the impacts related to these issues. With the reduced mooring area, the Department of Fish and Game has indicated the project will not result in any significant adverse impacts to bird foraging areas. The city is also proposing a number of best management practices for the mooring operations to protect water quality, including restrictions on the disposal of waste, use of boat cleaning agents, prohibitions of in-water hull scraping, and required maintenance and inspection of the boats. The city is also providing a free mobile vessel pump-out and trash collection service on a daily basis, in addition to ensure that illegal dumping will not occur. Each vessel using the moorings will have a blue dye tablet placed in its holding tank by the mooring master each time the vessel attaches to one of the moorings. The City of Long Beach Department of Parks and Recreation Marine Division is responsible for enforcing these BMPs, and staff is recommending two additional provisions to Special Condition 5 that's in your addendum packet that requires the city to implement these programs. The Surf Rider Foundation has also raised a concern that the establishment of the proposed moorings could be used in the future as a reason to maintain the current configuration of the federal Long Beach breakwater. Recent proposals have been floated to reconfigure the breakwater to improve water circulation and possibly reestablish surf breaks in this protected area. And these proposals are currently being discussed and considered at the city level. However, the proposed moorings cannot be used to justify for the maintenance of this pre-existing protected device, since the moorings are not considered to be a permanent structure in our view. These moorings can simply be removed or relocated in order to avoid any adverse impacts that result from the reconfiguration or of the breakwater or other protective device. And I want to just stress that this approval, this permit for the installation of these moorings shall not be used as a basis to construct any new protective device or to prevent the reconfiguration of the breakwater. The Coastal Act encourages increased recreational boating use of coastal waters through the development of these types of facilities. In addition, the mooring facility also provides a relatively low-cost visitor-serving use. The proposed project, as conditioned in our view, will not result in any significant adverse impacts and is consistent with the Chapter 3 policies of the Coastal Act. Therefore, staff is recommending approval of the permit subject to special conditions outlined in the staff report. And the motion for approval can be found on page 2 of the staff report. I was also just handed a letter that was faxed to us today, this morning, from a John Tobin, who's a member of the Belmont Beach Homeowners Association, raising concerns with regard to the location of the moorings, how far offshore they are, as it relates to noise levels. He's also bringing up that residents in the area did not receive proper notice. As far as I know, proper notice was sent pursuant to our regulations. The city, he also states here that the city is, that this is just a revenue-generating operation and is not sure what the point there is. But there's also, he also is bringing up the fact that this area is already polluted, and additional moorings could increase pollution in the area. And I think that, and the mooring master would be privately funded, and I guess that relates to the dye tablets, but the city's taking responsibility for these dye tablets. So I think we've addressed all the issues outlined in this letter, and this concludes staff's presentation on this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Ainsworth. Ex-parties, starting on my left. Any ex-parties? No ex-parties. Okay, with that, I'll open the public hearing then. Mark Sandoval. Sir, how much time are you requesting?
30 seconds, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Mark Sandoval. I'm the manager of Marinas and Beaches for the City of Long Beach, the applicant in this case. Mr. Ainsworth did a very good job of summarizing the program. The only thing I wanted to add was to underscore that we have made significant changes in the program as a result of meeting with stakeholders, with the public, and addressing some of the opponents. Primarily, we cut the number of moorings in half, and we did implement a at-vessel holding tank discharge service that would be part of the mooring fee, which I don't know that's replicated anywhere in the state. But for their mooring fee, a boat can get their holding tank pumped at the boat at the mooring. But other than that, I'm here to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Sandoval. Staff, anything additional?
No additional comments.
Mr. Okay, with that, I'll come back to Commissioner Burke.
For the last 2.5 months, I've been doing a informal research program of my own as it relates to... I have that. I think it's picking it up. It's not picking it up. It's not.
You, sir, you want to try this one?
Whoop. Is this one any better?
Yeah, it's great. Turn it on.
Is this one okay?
Turn it on.
It's, yeah, it works better if it's on. I know, probably. All right. Right. Can I get these little tags, ABC, NBC? As I was saying, for the last 2.5 months, I've been doing kind of a... informal educational program for myself because we obviously are going to be dealing over the next year or two or three with a number of these moorings and boating facilities because in California our current inventory of slips is reaching the age of 40 to 45, it's gone again, 40 to 45 years of age, and they're all going to be either, need to be either remodeled or reconfigured. And I've found out some really interesting stuff. I found out that even my own experience, which is probably just over 40 years of boating, is no longer... applicable because technology and market share and boat design and marina design has changed so dramatically over that period that what was current when I left boating 3 or 4 years ago is no longer current. So I know that the budget constraints are horrible. So, my first inclination was, why don't we have a workshop and put together a workshop and so that all the commissioners could share in this information that they're going to need to deal with this problem over the next few years. And I just didn't want to add an additional workload to their already... as we know, overburdened staff. But if the commission is interested, what I will do is put together a small workshop myself. I'll have my staff at the office put it together and then just present it as a package on one day when our schedule is light. So I think you'll be fascinated, as I was, on the demographic changes and the state of the marina industry as a whole and the boat owners' reactions and our relationship to the national picture. It's a very, very interesting thing.
Thank you, Commissioner Burke. Commissioner Secord?
I move that the Commission approve with special conditions Coastal Development Permit 5-07-443 per the staff recommendation. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Secord and seconded by Commissioner Akashian. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the approval of the permit as conditioned and adoption of the resolutions and findings that are contained in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Secord?
No, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Akashian? Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously hereby approves a coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings that are set forth in the staff report. And I think we'll, if it's okay with my colleagues and friends, we'll take at this juncture, we'll take a 10-minute bio break. He's got to turn on the No, they're not on. Okay, let's get going again and try to finish up here. Number 20, let's go to the enforcement report.
There is no enforcement report today, so we'll just move on to energy items.
That's the best report today. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we decided to consolidate a number of enforcement items and bring that report to you at the next meeting.
Okay, then we'll go on to energy, ocean resources, and federal consistency.
Before we get to item 25B and C, I'd like to give you a brief status report on the Poseidon Carlsbad desalination project. As you may recall, the Commission approved the facility in November of last year. We prepared revised findings for today's hearing, but postponed that hearing until May based on requests from both Poseidon and Surfrider. Staff has been nevertheless working with Poseidon on condition compliance. You may recall that the Commission's approval required Poseidon to come back with two mitigation plans for additional Commission approval, one plan to identify and mitigate the facility's impacts to marine life, and the other to show how the facility would reduce or mitigate its greenhouse gas emissions so that its operations would be net carbon neutral. We've been working with Poseidon and coordinating with other agencies on these plans, including the State Lands Commission, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, the Air District, and the Energy Commission. And our goal is to bring these two required plans for your consideration at the July meeting. Now, next on today's agenda are revised findings.
Director Douglas?
Yes, before Allison goes on to the next item, I just wanted to indicate to you, I think we've reported to you before, that the arrangement we made with Poseidon was that they would give us the resources in order for us to do the work that's needed to do these two plans, to work on these two plans.
Right.
And we have done that, and we do have folks that are going to be working on that now, specifically with the funding that we got in order to accomplish this. And, of course, part of our commitment was to bring it back at the earliest opportunity, which we figured would be July. So that's part of an overall package that we worked out with them, and hopefully we'll be able to work it out and bring you those plans.
Thank you, Director Douglas. Ms. Tittmeyer?
And next on today's agenda are revised findings in support of the Commission's approval of PG&E's Diablo Canyon Power Plant steam generator replacement project. And I wanted to give you a heads up quickly that we will be bringing before you at the May meeting another steam generator replacement project, this one proposed by Southern California Edison at the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station. And unless you have any questions with that, I'm going to turn this over to Tom Lester for a brief presentation.
No? Mr. Lester?
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Kerr and Commissioners. The next two items are combined in the same staff report, items 25B and C, provide recommended revised findings for your decision in December 2006, allowing Pacific Gas and Electric Company to install replacement steam generators at the Diablo Canyon Power Plant. As you know, the Commission's regulations require that when a Commission action is substantially different than that recommended by staff, staff is to prepare revised findings that accurately reflect the Commission's action. Based on staff's review of the proceedings from that December hearing, we believe these revised findings overall accurately reflect your decision. Because these are revised findings, only those commissioners that were on the prevailing side in the original decision are eligible to vote today. And those commissioners are listed on the cover page of the staff report. Please note, too, that staff provided you with an addendum this morning that consists of two ex parte forms. Staff understands that PG&E largely concurs with the revised findings with the exception of one issue, whether the Commission intended for the land preserved as part of the project be protected through a deed restriction or through a conservation easement. As you may recall, at the Commission's December 2006 hearing, PG&E provided as part of the project a 1,200-acre conservation area. This was a modification of PG&E's earlier offer for a 600-acre conservation area, which it had presented as an alternative to staff's recommended 9,000-acre conservation easement. PG&E did not state at the hearing whether its offer was for a deed restriction or an easement. The condition language in the staff report required an easement, though the text of the report characterized PG&E's offer as either an easement or a deed restriction. The relevant condition language was not explicitly changed during the hearing. Staff shortly thereafter issued PG&E its coastal development permit with a requirement that PG&E protect the area with a deed restriction, which was PG&E's preference. However, upon staff's later review of the hearing record, we believe the Commission's understanding was that its project approval was on the basis of PG&E offering to dedicate a conservation easement. Several commissioners clearly articulated their understanding that PG&E was offering an easement. As noted in the transcript, commissioners repeatedly used the word easement when asking PG&E's representatives about the offer. At no time during the hearing did PG&E clarify to the Commission that the offer was for a deed restriction rather than an easement. PG&E, however, contends that the conservation area should instead be covered by a deed restriction. Exhibit 6 of the staff report is a letter from PG&E explaining its position. PG&E has stated that it would accept the currently recommended revised findings, and staff understands PG&E representatives are here and have a brief presentation. In closing, staff is recommending a yes vote to adopt these findings, which refer to PG&E's offer as a conservation easement.
And I might just note, Mr. Chairman, that after we found out that the permit had been issued with a deed restriction, we informed PG&E that it had been issued in error, that indeed a conservation easement would be required. That issue, of course, is in abeyance until you act on these findings.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas. Ex parties, starting on my left. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah. On January 31st, in the morning hours, I did meet with Morgan Rafferty, Executive Director of EcoSlow, Gordon Hensley from the Coastkeepers, Jeff Pineck from San Luis Chapter of Surf Riders, and they requested support to staff's recommendation. Also,
thank you, Commissioner Kajian.
I got one more.
Okay, go ahead. Pull your mic up and.
Well, the closer I get to it, it makes me sound like as if I have an accent. I don't like that. On January 31st, Thursday at 4:35 p.m., I was on a conference call with Mr. Nish while Pat Mullen was in my office, and we revisit the issues that were just straight addressed by the staff member, and they were overall appreciative of staff's input and in an agreement with the exception of the wording of the deed restriction versus conservation easement, and that their permit was issued with the deed restriction, which they rather see. And then one of the reasons that they brought to my attention that the conservation easement does introduce a third party which can and has in the past become a liability to them. So by their request, I do support the staff's recommendation with the exception of where it says conservation easement on special condition 3C to be redo the wording from conservation easement to deed restriction and delete the footnote on page 3. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And I'll try again, and we'll start on our left. See if there's anyone else. And
speaking from the left, I had a meeting last Monday briefly with Dave Nish, in which he described the concerns that were just articulated by Commissioner Kajian.
Thank you, Commissioner Potter.
And Mr. Chair, my ex partes are on file.
Vice Chair Neely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think this is working. Hello? Is that working? Use this one then. Yesterday, I had an ex parte communication with Pat Mullins of PG&E, and he indicated that they would like Special Condition 3C of the revised findings to be consistent with Special Condition 3C and the issued and executed coastal development permit.
Yesterday, I ran into, checking into the hotel yesterday afternoon, David Nish Sr., and had a brief ex parte with him, and the discussion was around the question of the conservation easement or the findings, and we talked about the fact that the permit had been issued, and he said there was a reliance issue, and PG&E has spent millions and millions of dollars since then, since they've had the permit, and he just thought it was unfair that at this time that the permit itself, and then he had a copy of it, and he showed me, and I read the permit, that there was on page 5 of the permit, it mentioned at least 7 times that it was a deed restriction, and that's what we discussed. Commissioner Berg.
During our bio break, I was approached by Mr. Nish, and he basically told me the same thing that he discussed with the chairman.
Okay. Commissioner Secor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've had 3 ex partes on this matter. One is in the files. The other has to do with meetings over the phone and yesterday with both Niche 1 and Niche 2 and Pat Mullen. And they discussed the same information with me that Commissioner Neely reported, and that was the belief and the language in the permit that described this as a deed restriction, and that relates to the condition 3C in the staff report.
Thank you, Commissioner Secor. Commissioner Schallenberg, anything? No? Okay, thank you. Commissioner Kajian, anything else?
No, sir.
Okay. Okay, that we have all the ex parties, and with that, there's speaker slips here. Yeah. We'll open the public hearing and call up Pat Mullen. Mr. Mullen, how much time are you requesting, sir?
6 minutes and 2 for rebuttal, if necessary.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Kruer and honorable commissioners. My name is Pat Mullen, Government Relations Director with Pacific Gas and Electric Company. Before you today are the staff's proposed revised findings for the steam generator replacement project. We have submitted to you 2 separate letters, both dated January 29th, 2008, which address PG&E's position regarding the proposed revised findings and ask that the Commission follow our requests contained in those letters. They are in your staff report, and specifically the last 3 pages of the staff report, which are the changes that we request to the revised findings. I'd like to discuss the key issue that's been mentioned, and that is the issue that staff's position in the revised findings would require that our permit be revoked and reissued. It would require the 1,200-acre conservation offer be implemented as a conservation easement instead of through a deed restriction. PG&E disagrees with staff on this point and does not believe the Commission has the authority to revoke and reissue a modified CDP, even if it were so inclined. By way of background, in November 2006, the staff report clearly stated that PG&E's conservation offer could be implemented as either a deed restriction or conservation easement. The staff report's special condition 3C inconsistently referenced a conservation easement. To clarify the inconsistency, PG&E requested in writing to the Commission prior to the hearing that special condition 3C be revised and discuss the issue with staff. Staff told PG&E that based on the staff report, it had the authority to issue the CDP allowing for a deed restriction without raising the issue with the commission or modifying the proposed special condition 3C. Based upon staff's assurances, PG&E did not raise the issue at that hearing. Following the hearing, PG&E wrote Mr. Lester that its preferred approach would be the deed restriction. The commission then issued the CDP on March 8, 2007, specifically stating deed restriction. PG&E then executed the CDP. Last week, PG&E submitted our plan for the conservation property as a deed restriction as required by the CDP. We understand that staff now believes that testimony in the hearing was unclear about which mechanism would be used, since a couple of commissioners referred to the offer as a conservation easement. However, we did not believe clarification was warranted because the staff report allowed for either mechanism at the election of PG&E. Finally, we do not agree with staff that the commission has the authority at this point in the process to revoke and reissue or otherwise reconsider the CDP. There are very limited circumstances under which the commission may revoke and reconsider a CDP, and none of those circumstances apply here. We discussed that in more detail in our letters. In light of the issue raised by staff, we ask that the revised findings be modified as set forth in our letter, which is the last three pages of your staff report, and it's labeled Exhibit B. Our strong preference is that the CDP remain as it has been issued and as we've relied on it for nearly a year. We were not notified until months after the CDP was executed, and we had completed the majority of that work that staff felt it should be changed. So we would request that the revised findings be modified as per Exhibit B, which would allow the CDP to remain with the deed restriction language. And that is consistent with the November 30th, 2006 staff report and the issued and executed CDP. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mullen.
Thank you.
With that, I'll close the public hearing and I'll go back to staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of quick comments. Again, the resolution of this issue hinges not on the description in the staff report of the offer being either a deed restriction or an easement, how that was characterized. It depends entirely on the commission's basis for its decision. And so in reviewing the transcript of the hearing, staff noted that a number of commissioners repeatedly referred to the offer as an easement, and we believe that that should be reflected in the permit. Just on another note, staff did not and would not characterize an issue as being unimportant to bring up before the commission. And that's all I
think the only other observations were, one, that the action by the commission was to approve the permit with conditions, and the condition language does state easement, as I understand it. And so we felt that that overrides the reference to either deed restriction or easement in the text of the findings. But it's up to you to decide that. The last point is just that we did notify PG&E within weeks, not months and months, that the permit was issued in error, that it should have been a conservation easement and not a deed restriction. But once that dispute became clear, we just said, we're going to hold that in abeyance until you act on these findings. And unfortunately, because of a number of circumstances beyond our control, it's taken this long to bring these before you.
Thank you, Director Douglas. And with that, I'll go to Commissioner Akajian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This time I'll move that the Commission adopt the revised findings in support of the Commission's action on December 14, 2006 concerning Coastal Development Permit Number 83SLO06017.
Second.
Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Kajian, second by Commissioner Riley. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the adoption of the revised findings as set forth in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Kajian?
Yes, and I would like to offer an amendment to my motion, sir.
Okay.
I would like, I did hear Mr. Douglas say that the permit was issued in an error. Prior to that, to my understanding, was this permit issued on December 1406 did say Point San Luis did restrictions. And my intention is, because this was an offer, in other words, voluntarily given to us, the 1,200 acres. Again, my thoughts, it's a conservation offer, it wasn't an easement. And my experience with the property owner, when they had an conservation easement with, I think it was Petra Trails, when a third party was introduced and that third party backed off and left the landlord dry. I just don't want to see that happen again. And if the our goal is that we don't see any development on this piece of property, then deed restriction does exactly that. So for that reason, I want to ask that we change the language on condition number 3C.
This is your amending motion. No?
Yes, the conservation is meant to be a deed restriction, and at the same time, remove the footnote on page 3 of 73.
Second.
It's been seconded by Commissioner Riley. Now, would you like to say something more, Commissioner Kajian, on your amended motion?
Yes, simply put, Mr. Chair, I believe the deed restriction does serve the desire of this commission that there would be no developments on this piece of property, and that was the whole idea. And okay. Deed restriction just does that.
Is the maker of the second, Commissioner Riley?
Well, staff is arguing the language commissioners used, and sometimes we get a little loose about things. But, you know, to me, looking at the report that we have before us, it was a conservation offer, a voluntary conservation offer from PG&E, not necessarily conservation easement, that could be affected by either a deed restriction or a conservation easement. I think that was pretty clear in the text. If you know, some commissioners in the context didn't include both those terms, that's unfortunate, but I think the text was clear. We never changed the text. And I simply assumed, since it was a voluntary offer on the part of PG&E, it wasn't being counted as mitigation, that if there were choices to be made about how to affect the conservation offer, they'd be made by PG&E because it was a voluntary offer. So it doesn't make sense to me to read it a different way than that.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley. Commissioner Schallenberger?
Yeah, to me, the issue here is what standard we need to base our decision on. I read the transcript and didn't find any place in it talking about any of the commissioners or the executive director talking about a deed restriction. I did find repeatedly language about conservation easement. Director Douglas referred to it very often, and on page 92, he makes it clear that it was an easement, a conservation easement, that it would be, he gave the example of the Nature Conservancy and another organization prepared to take over this easement. On page 93, Commissioner Kajian talked about conservation easement. On page 105, Commissioner Wan talked about conservation easement. 105, Commissioner Clark talked about conservation easement. 167, Commissioner Kruer, the same. And then finally, before we took our final vote, Chair Caldwell said to Ms. Jacobs, this is on page 169, your application now includes an offer to dedicate 12,000 acres in a conservation easement. Mr. Zabur answered, the voluntary offer is changed to 1,200, as we stated. Chair Caldwell said, that's part of your application. Mr. Zabur said, it's a voluntary offer. It's part of the application. So to me, if we have to base our findings on this transcript, we have no option but to stick with conservation easement. The troublesome thing for me, and I look to our legal counsel, is how does the fact that the permit that was issued is not consistent, actually, with the record of the hearing? And so how do we get out of this conundrum? Because no commissioner talked about a deed restriction, and no commissioner talked about a flexibility on how this would be implemented.
Thank you, Commissioner. That's why we're back here with this issue before you today. We came back because the permit was issued in error, we believe. It's unfortunate that that occurred, but occasionally things like that do occur. We tried to correct it. Staff tried to correct it with PG&E at the time, and that was not successful, and that's why the issue is being brought back as part of the revised findings today.
If I can just follow up on that to be clear, what is it what you're telling us? That was not English. Are you telling us that the record of the hearing itself supersedes the permit in terms of our findings?
We believe that the record is the guiding principle of what the commission adopted. We do, however, have a permit that was issued to PG&E. So we're not saying at this point that it supersedes the permit that's issued. What we are saying is that the commission needs to clarify what it is it intended to do, and the revised findings will do that.
Okay, sorry, Mr. Chair, I need to pursue this because I'm not hearing the clear answer that I'm looking for from staff.
If I may, the issue of the issuance of the permit in error is a separate issue as I see it, and as we see it. The issue of what the commission intended when it acted in approving this is what's before you in the findings. If you agree that the action of the commission was to view the 1,200 acres, and Commissioner Riley was right, this was a voluntary offer on their part, it was not mitigation, it was something that the commission, though, accepted, that you accepted that as a conservation easement as opposed to a deed restriction, then that's the way the findings will be reflected, and we will then have to deal with PG&E about what happens to the permit that the staff issued in error, and that's a separate issue. That may be, I don't know what the rules of equity are and what the rules might be as to whether or not we can revise that, but that really is separate from the question of what the commission intended. We made a mistake in issuing it, and we would have to deal with that later.
Commissioner Riley?
Well, you the counsel.
If I can just add to that, PG&E has told us that upon the commission clarifying what it intended, it will live with that decision, and I do not believe we will have a problem with the permit at that point.
And if I can just finish, I think there's no question in my mind, having read this transcript, that the intent of the commission was a conservation easement. Nobody used any other language when talking about this, and immediately prior to our final vote, Mr. Zabur acknowledged that it was a voluntary offer, and he responded positively to Chair Caldwell's question. Your application now includes an offer to dedicate 1,200 acres in conservation easement.
Okay,
Mr. Chair, I would just like to clarify for the record that...
wait a minute. Just a minute. Let somebody... We'll give you a chance. Just one second first. Commissioner Riley?
Well, let me just speak to staff's interpretation of intent here, because I think it's important. In all my years on the commission, staff has held that the written analysis and conditions that are in our reports before us hold unless commission specifically changes those things. Now, that's been the standard. And no one specifically changed the language giving them the option of deed restriction or conservation easement, regardless of what the conversation was. And without that specific change, staff has consistently over the years said, what's in the staff report, unless it's changed by the commission, is what stands. And I don't understand why we have a different standard on this.
Commissioner Riley, I agree with you 100% on that, and that's the way I recall it. And, you know, when you give somebody a permit, they got to rely on the permit. And my recollection was it could be a conservation easement staff felt or a deed restriction. At least I remember discussions of that in my ex parte, et cetera, when people talked about it. We really weren't focusing on it one way or the other. It was a voluntary thing that they were doing. But Commissioner Riley's right, and on top of it, it's not so light when you give somebody a permit. They rely on that permit, spend millions of dollars, and go out and do it. And you just say, well, let's go back and look at the intent of the record on the findings and see if we can get back and pull their permit out and this and that. You don't want to go down that road. I'll tell you. It's not that easy. I don't agree with the analysis so far that this is just something you can roll back and take somebody's permit back. I think that's ludicrous. Commissioner Secord.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that one of the places where this problem began was when we had the discussion, because nobody really articulated for us, applicant or staff, the differences between a conservation easement and a development deed restriction. We could have clarified this for you just fine had we known the difference. I don't think it was, as I recall it, discussed. But what was discussed was that this was a voluntary offer, and because it is a voluntary offer and not mitigation, I think it's up to PG&E to describe the way that they want to work with their voluntary offer. So I support the motion as amended and Commissioner Riley's point of view on it. And if Mr. Zabor would like to clarify what
just because, and I apologize, Ms. Meltzer, just because there's litigation on this, I just wanted to clarify that PG&E's position about the adoption of the findings is as set forth in the two letters that were submitted in writing. So I just wanted to make sure. I don't think that the characterization that Ms. Meltzer made was accurate. I think that we'd like the record to reflect that our position is as reflected in the two letters that are dated and were submitted to the commission.
Then I guess our problem was we relied on an email from you that said you would accept it whatever way the commission acts. So if you're saying that email wasn't accurate, then okay, we'll accept that.
Okay. Commissioner Wan.
Well, this is troubling and it's very difficult. There's two things that concern me. And one is certainly when I was dealing with this, I thought, because the only thing we were talking about was an easement, that when you get an offer, a quote voluntary offer, and there was a big discussion about whether this was voluntary or not, which was very different from the staff report, then when you get that offer and you make that offer, you should specify what the offer was. And the offer that was specified was an easement, not a deed restriction. The concern that I have about this does relate to what Commissioner Riley said. And the fact is that the staff report said both. And you are correct about that. My concern here is how you... While we need to change findings specifically if we want to, we made changes to the staff recommendation in the way in which we voted this, and the applicant came up, and in my opinion, he changed what was in that staff report because of the way in which he presented this as voluntary conservation easement. So there's the problem, is that it's what he offered. He didn't offer anything other than that, and I don't know that he has the ability to change his offer at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Wan. Anyone else? Any other? Commissioner Schallenberger again?
I just think it's important to put on the record that at least from my point of view, if the commission chooses to make this amendment to the motion so that... that it is not because when and if in the future staff issue a permit which does not reflect commission action, it doesn't mean the commission necessarily is going to go with that permit. The permit, I heard from staff that there are other reasons to vote this amendment, one being Commissioner Riley's point that the staff report was never changed. But I just wouldn't want anybody in the future to think that if staff issues a permit in the future which doesn't reflect the commission's action, it doesn't mean that the commission will then override its earlier action in order to go with that permit. So I just don't want anybody to misinterpret going forward in the future what this action means.
Thank you, Commissioner Schellenberger.
Anyone else? If not, I'll call the question on the Mr. Mullen before. Is there a need to? Okay. I'll call the question.
Mr. Chair, I just want to say I agree with Commissioner Schellenberger on that point.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Riley. I'll call the roll on the amending motion. They're asking for a yes vote. And please go ahead and call the roll.
Commissioner Ashajian. Aye. Commissioner Burke.
Wait, excuse me. I just want to ask clarification. Is it those people that were just eligible because it's first findings, then the whole roll call? I think it's people. What we should do, I just thought about it. What we should do is those people eligible to vote for this that and are recommending a yes vote, they should put up their hand that are eligible to vote.
On the amending motion.
On the amending motion.
Well, we can call a roll on the eligible commissioners.
Okay. If you want to do it, that's fine. We'll do it that way. It's clear.
Commissioner Kruer?
Yes.
Commissioner Ashajian?
Yes.
Commissioner Burke?
Yes.
Commissioner Neely?
Yes.
Commissioner Potter?
Aye.
Commissioner Riley?
Yes.
Commissioner Secord?
Yes.
Commissioner Schellenberger?
No.
Commissioner Wan?
Okay. It passes the amending
amendment
motion.
Passes.
Now there's a second resolution.
Well, you just voted on the...
No, the main motion.
Main motion.
Right. Now you've got to vote on the main
on the
motion.
Main motion. And again, does anyone have an objection to sub... well, let's just call again one more time because... Yeah. Pardon? Yes. Is there any objection to unanimous of the eligible people? Of the eligible people? Or... to on this item, is there any objection to a unanimous yes on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the main motion. And now on the second motion for the CDP.
I move that the commission adopt the revised findings in support of the commission's actions on.
You don't need one, I don't think.
You don't need one. Okay.
You don't need to change the CDP. We don't need it. That's right.
We weren't clear that
do you still need that second motion on the CDP?
Yes.
Well, if we're not changing the CDP, what's the intent of that motion?
You still want us to do the second motion?
Yes.
Okay. What's the basis?
What's it mean?
I know it's a CDP, but if we're not changing it, is there a necessity to do it?
Yes, it's still the revised findings from the action taken a year ago.
Okay, and advice of counsel, go ahead. I'm sorry, Commissioner Akashian, would you make your motion, please?
No problem at all, sir. I move that the commission adopt the revised findings in support of the commission's action on December 14, 2006, concerning coastal development permit number EO6011, recommending a yes vote.
Moved by Commissioner Akashian and seconded by Commissioner Secord. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the adoption of the revised findings as set forth in this staff report. You like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Akashian?
No, sir.
Commissioner Secord?
Does the motion include the amendment?
No, this is separate. We've already passed the amendment.
The amendment part has already
been disposed
of. It's
already done. Right. We've taken care of the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Now this, it's eligible people that can vote on this.
Question of staff.
Question of staff first. Commissioner Riley?
I just want to know what the effect of this motion is. The effect of this motion to keep to keep the permit that's already been issued as it was issued? Is that
it just removes all doubt. That's exactly what it does.
All right.
Okay.
We're playing it safe.
Belt and suspenders. Okay. Okay. Again, it's just the eligible commissioners. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote of the eligible commissioners on this item? Any objection to unanimous? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves and hereby adopts the findings set forth for the approval of the coastal development permit number A-03-SLO-06-017.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, just an observation. The fact that we had a disagreement on how we read the commission's action should in no way detract or imply that somehow we're being critical of how PG&E is managing their land, and we applaud their going forward with the conservation plan. We haven't reviewed it, of course, but we have every confidence that they will continue to be good stewards of the land, and we just want to make sure for the record that the difference of opinion we had on this issue in no way affects our perception of our working relationship on other issues with PG&E.
And Mr. Chairman, yes. The amending motion that we approved had very specific references to certain sections in the staff findings, and I'm assuming if there are other references that we didn't pick up somewhere along the way, that you'll make that modification.
We'll make all the conforming changes, all right, yes.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley.
Mr. Chairman.
Do you want to go back to statewide? Or?
Yes, I'd like to go back to the Whale Tail Grant program, if we can. Sylvie Lee is here, having made it through the traffic jam. And we will need a closed session today, Mr. Chairman. So.
What?
I can do that at the end. Sylvie?
What item is it going to take?
Okay. Hello. I am here for our annual request to approve competitive whale tail grants for organizations that applied for funds supporting coastal and marine education projects in California. This cycle was just as selective as it has been in recent years, since we only had enough funding to award 18% of the total dollars requested from us. All of the recommendations are detailed in the staff report, so I can provide a brief overview, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions. As usual, a great many of the projects being recommended for funding are for educating underserved children firsthand about the coast and ocean and watersheds. For example, the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach has adopted a nearby elementary school and is educating every student in every grade level every year. Students in Compton will be able to learn about, appreciate, and help the ocean environment and do field studies at Catalina Island. Students in San Francisco's Mission District will be able to do field studies at the Headlands Institute in Marin. Underserved students in LA County will be able to visit the Roundhouse Aquarium and explore and clean up Manhattan Beach, while children from inland Orange County will be able to visit a marine mammal rescue center and see how trash impacts sea lions. A small school in rural Sonoma County will integrate coastal studies into its yearly curriculum. Youth at large urban schools in San Francisco and East Oakland will learn about their local watersheds and be able to visit the ocean. We are also recommending funding to support habitat restoration projects. Habitat restoration will take place along Cholas Creek in San Diego through a grant to Ecolife, around San Francisco Bay by teens in inner city Richmond through a grant to Earth Team, and at the Fort Ord Dunes through support of Return of the Natives based at CSU Monterey Bay. Some other projects are taking place locally near Monterey Bay as well. In Santa Cruz, the Discovery Center at Long Marine Lab will be developing a pilot coastal watershed education program. Save Our Shores will be strengthening the Santa Cruz Adopt a Beach program, including placing signs at beaches similar to Adopt a Highway signs that the commission first funded for the Adopt a Beach program in San Diego. And the American Cetacean Society will be holding a conference about whales in a changing world in Monterey in the fall. Other grants will support projects taking place all around the state. An educational and motivational DVD produced by the Malibu Foundation will be viewed by children all around California. UC Cooperative Extension in Santa Barbara will be holding statewide teacher training workshops for their salmon curriculum targeting Latino youth. And the Point Reyes Bird Observatory will be producing a pocket guide to coastal birds of California, complete with conservation tips and guidelines for safe viewing. This group of projects also contains some firsts for the Whale Tail Grants Program. Our first grant entirely for an evaluation project would go to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, whose faculty want to determine and then share best practices for experiential environmental education programs focusing on California's coast and ocean. Our first grant relating to the California Coastal National Monument would go to Humboldt State University's Marine Lab in the town of Trinidad. Our first grant including best practices in ranching regarding preserving water quality would go to the San Mateo County RCD. And our first grant supporting an international conference was already mentioned as taking place in Monterey. This group of grants also has some other interesting projects that would reach the general public. In Arcata, at-risk youth will paint two murals inspiring residents to protect storm drains from pollution. In Long Beach, the Friends of Colorado Lagoon will lead nature walks and other public activities. And in Los Angeles, the Natural History Museum will be upgrading its marine hall, viewed by 500,000 people per year. So those were the highlights touching on all the different grants described more fully in the staff report. Again, it was a very competitive grant cycle. And the recipients fortunate enough to be recommended for funding owe it all to the people in California who have purchased a Whale Tail specialty license plate, looks like this, which makes all these grants possible. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, again, let me compliment Ms. Lee and her colleagues in the outstanding work that they've done here. It's always so difficult when you have so many meritorious proposals submitted to the Commission for funding, and we have so few funds available and have to make these hard decisions in terms of which proposals to fund and which not, or to recommend to you. So we bring it to you with mixed feelings. We're delighted to make the recommendation, and we're just sorry that we couldn't recommend more to you.
Well, thank you. Good job. Vice Chair Neely?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the Commission approve the 23 competitive grants recommended by staff for the Whale Tail license plate funding and authorize the Executive Director to enter into the appropriate agreements.
Second.
Moved by Vice Chair Neely and seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that some parties in the audience submitted a speaker slip on this item.
No, we don't have.
Oh, I'm sorry. They may have mistaken it for public comment, thinking it was on this item.
We have public comment requests. Yeah.
No, I think it's on this item, right? Is this what you're here for?
Okay.
I'm sorry. It was mismarked.
Would you come up and then you can we'll hear from you and then you can fill out a speaker slip, okay, before we vote on this.
Thank you very much. I'm Laura Casa, the Executive Director of Save Our Shores in Santa Cruz, and I'm simply here to say thank you so much. We received a Whale Tail grant last year and we had great success. We developed a Clean Beaches Coalition website. We've had almost 5,000 people participate in our beach cleanup programs. We really couldn't have been as successful if we hadn't had the support from this grant. We just want to thank you for also supporting us this year. We're very excited about the Adopt a Beach program in Santa Cruz, and we look forward to talking to the folks in San Diego that have already implemented this program. So again, thank you. We very much appreciate your support.
Thank you for your kind words.
You can see why I wanted you to.
Yes, and I can see that she'll be on the list for next year maybe too. Thank you. With that, there is a motion, and again, is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on these grants? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously agrees to the 23 different grants.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, if it's all right with you, I'd like to trail the other statewide items till tomorrow because Susan Hanch will be here then, and there are some issues that we need to discuss with you then. We do have a closed session that
Mr.
we
Chairman.
Need to have.
Is
Chris there?
Before
we should probably do the public comment.
Yeah, I know. That's what we're going. We have public comment, and then we'll, if you want, we can do a. How long is the closed session going to be? What?
Probably about half an hour, 45 minutes.
Half an hour, 20 minutes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I won't be here tomorrow. I wanted to make one or two comments under Commissioner.
That's right, sir, and I'm sorry. Commissioner, you did mention earlier.
Is this appropriate time?
Yeah, this is appropriate time. I want to recognize and go ahead and make your comments. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission, I chair the National Coastal States Organization and just returned from our meeting in Washington, D.C. Just wanted to report on some sort of big picture items in Washington. The 35-member this organization is currently pushing very hard for the reauthorization of the Coastal Zone Management Act. This is the product of a visioning process that's happened throughout the nation. We don't expect action this year, but all 35 states, including the staff of the Coastal Commission, have come to general agreement on the sorts of things we need to do. This is very, very important because if we don't push how CZMA is reauthorized, it's going to be done for us, and there are very, very important things at stake, such as the federal consistency provisions of CZMA, which are most likely going to come under attack. We're also pushing very hard for legislation to deal with adaptation to climate change, something I think is very important to this commission and to states throughout the United States. Finally, we're very active in the part of Oceans 21, which is a major piece of federal legislation on the regional ocean governance provisions. You may be aware we've got the West Coast Governor's Agreement on Ocean Health here on the West Coast. We're looking for legislation that's going to provide long-term funding for those regional sorts of things which were envisioned by the U.S. Commission on Ocean Policy. Second point I wanted to make is the Joint Ocean Commission on Ocean Policy, which is a mix of the U.S. Commission on Ocean Policy and the Pew Oceans Commissions, just came out with their report card on how the federal government and the states do on ocean and coastal management, and basically how how the U.S. Commission and Pew Ocean Commission recommendations are being implemented. The headline of that report says, "New report from the Ocean Group applauds state efforts which call for the federal government to address climate change, international leadership, and inadequate funding grades. The overall grade for coastal states in innovation and moving forward is an A-. The overall grade for the federal government is up from a C- to a C. The individual grades are National Ocean Governance Reform for the federal government, D. International Leadership, C+. Research, C-. Fisheries Management Reform, C+. New Funding for Ocean Policy, D+. And finally, links between ocean and climate, a C. Leon Panetta, who presented these findings, said if he was with the federal government, it's not the kind of report card he would want to bring home to mom. So it was a very interesting presentation in Washington. Finally, I'd just like to mention that a giant in ocean and coastal management, Mark Hirschman, recently passed on February 18th. He was formerly the director of the University of Washington School of Marine Affairs. He was a commissioner on the U.S. Commission of Ocean Policy. He's internationally known. We had a moment of silence for him at our Coastal States Organization and with the Ocean Protection Council. I'd appreciate it if this commission could do the same, and I will report that back to his family.
Thank you, Commissioner Barrett, and we'll do that in honor of this gentleman, and we'll take a moment to in his memory. Thank you. And with that, we'll go to the public comment period.
Mr. Chairman.
Director Douglas.
I'm sorry. Okay, Director Jimmy, Douglas. I'm getting mixed signals here from
Well, we're going to do public comment, and okay. Then we're going to move ahead with public comment. And,
that's fine.
Okay?
That's fine.
David DeLange.
If audio visual is ready, we'll have one coming up in just a sec. I am David DeLange, Executive Director, Coalition to Save the Marine. I'm bringing you a report on the LCP review process for Marina Del Rey, the aftermath. I was asked by the Commission, and several of us were asked, to come, to go to the County Board of Supervisors and other county officials, and to bring the community's concerns to them. We have done that, and I have a result. Already, we have several results coming in. One of the first results I want to show you is of great concern, so if you could pull the tape. What you're going to see here is a small craft harbor commission meeting. We're not getting audio. Could you back it up? And
I said Bodine Waterways had specific guidelines, you know, for slip sizes. Turns out they don't have them. Turns out it was in a Williams-Kugelbeck report that was developed. There is no exact science. I'll even say that I misspoke, and it was appropriately pointed out by one of my contrarians that I said Bodine Waterways had specific guidelines, you know, for slip sizes. Turns out they don't have them. Turns out it was in a Williams-Kugelback report that was developed, and it has been, I believe that has been aired before the California Coastal Commission, and what I'm hearing right now is that every project built before California Coastal Commission kind of has to justify its elimination of small slips, and the Coastal Commission doesn't like it. I think they were extremely heavy-handed, and I'm convinced it will not prevail when reason does prevail, which it always does in the political environment, you can't eliminate any slips below, you know, 35 feet. Well, everything's got to be 35 feet below. Well, let the regulatory process worry about that.
What you have there is Mr. Stan Wisniewski, who's the manager of Marina Del Rey, talking about the commission findings and recommendation with respect to the one issue of boat slips. Commissioner Schallenberg introducing you unanimously passed a recommendation on that. And he's essentially saying that you're unreasonable and that you were heavy-handed. And that's one of our early results from this commission. We've gone besides to the County Board of Supervisors in various ways. They wouldn't let us on their agenda, so we took a team, like you've seen come here, to their one of their weekly meetings. And we presented our concerns, and we were met with silence. We have found, furthermore, no indication so far that the much talked about by Commissioner Burke public hearing has been either scheduled or is planned for being scheduled, so we're waiting on that. We've asked to be agendized as an alternative in front of the Board of Supervisors, and we've met no success there. We recognize that this is a process, that we're dealing with a very large battleship, and we're much smaller and more mobile opponents in this matter, and we're willing to be patient, but I have to tell you, very early results are is that we're not getting much of anywhere. We're not making much headway. And we're open to the idea that, of course, it would be to our benefit that this would all change. So we look to the future, and we will remain patient and nevertheless very persistent, because you did some important things. And we want to give it its best shot to be heard and stuck into law by this County Board of Supervisors. That would be our wish. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. DeLand.
Excuse me, Mr. Commissioner Chairman. Burr. May I ask Dr. DeLand a question?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Have you heard anything about a modification of the county's tree trimming program in Marina Del Rey?
I'm not sure how to answer. There has been a history on tree trimming policy.
Has there been a recent modification?
I do not.
On tree trimming, by the way.
I do not know.
You need to check that out, because that's important to you.
I might find something I like.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
just thought I'm going to throw that out.
Yeah, there's tree trimming policy and tree trimming policy. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you very much. Marcia Hanscom? 3 minutes? Okay.
Honorable Commissioners, Marcia Hanscom with the Sierra Club, Coastal Law Enforcement Action Network, and Biona Institute. And I just want to briefly mention something to you about an item that was postponed on your agenda today. And the reason I want to bring this up is I think there's some urgent action and attention that the Commission needs to take on this. It's item 20A. Related to Oxford Lagoon at the Marina Del Rey. And while we agree and are glad that the staff suggested postponing the item, because we don't think the recommendation was based on accurate science, we do think that there's a concern about how the county is currently managing this lagoon. For a number of years, this lagoon, which is a historical part of the Biona wetlands, much like Grand Canal Lagoon, Biona Lagoon Marine Preserve, and Del Rey Lagoon, these lagoons were there for many, many years. The marina was built sort of around them, and yet this Oxford Lagoon has had, for many years, tidal influence coming in and out. And unfortunately, the County Beaches and Harbors Department, and I believe Public Works is part of this, have been cutting off the tidal action to this lagoon for a number of months now, which there's
There's salt grass and pickleweed and heliotrope, a number of salt marsh plants that have been growing along the edges there. Your scientist, Dr. Jonna Engel, has seen this lagoon and said, well, of course it's a wetland. Obviously, we've seen the vegetation there. And we're very concerned that the ocean water and the tidal waters have been cut off. The National Marine Fisheries Service office in Long Beach has been very concerned about the mismanagement of all of these lagoons, both by the city and now this one, the county. And so we would ask that your staff look into this and direct the county to at least let the tidewaters flow again. They look at this as a flood control basin, and that's fine in a way. If it has to serve a flood control function, great, but it can also be serving the habitat function. There are birds and lots of species that are dependent on this. So we ask that you help us out with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Hanscom. And with that, Commissioner Juan?
Just a quick question. We don't have anybody here from the Long Beach office, but...
Charlene. Oh. Charlene's in charge of it.
I was looking over, where's Teresa? You know, old days. If in fact they are, and that is a wetland, if in fact they are cutting off all water to that wetland, is there an issue there for us?
Jack,
because
is
it is
a
flood,
office.
A tide gate, flood yeah. gate?
Yes, that is a concern, and that's one of the issues we'll be looking at, because what this is a low-flow diversion to divert these low flows into the sewer system. So that'll cut off that source of water during the dry season. So it will result in less water entering that basin. So you need to have some inputs in there to maintain that wetland habitat. And then with regard to whether it's fresh water or salt water, that needs to be resolved. So that is one of the issues that we're looking at, as well as some others regarding heron tree nesting protection and fill of wetlands. There's another issue related to that. So we'll bring that back in either April or May.
Thank you.
Okay, Director Douglas?
One other item under public comment, Mr. Chairman. Mr. John Davis was not able to attend the commission meeting to address you under public comment and requested that I bring to your attention a letter he submitted that we distributed to you, and I just wanted to do that for the record.
Thank you, Director Douglas. We all have that letter. Thank you. Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to ask the people here to go outside if they could. We're going to have a closed session, and then at the end of the closed session, which we approximate the time will be 30 to 45 minutes, we're going to open the doors and you come back in, and we're just going to report on the closed session, and that'll be the end of the hearing for today. And okay. So if you're not interested in what we did in closed session, have a nice lunch. You know. Are we back, huh? Okay. With that, I'll go to our general counsel, Ms. Schmelzer, to report on the closed session.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In a matter of threatened litigation, the Commission received advice from counsel. In addition, the Commission received an update in litigation of NRDC versus Winters. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to remind, before we all leave, that the reception tonight at 6:30 at the aquarium, I'm sure we'll see everybody there. And Dr. Lester?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Commissioners, just a brief comment. If you're interested in viewing the site of an item agendized for tomorrow on Cannery Row, it's just up coast of the aquarium. So if you arrive a little earlier, you could walk up the coast and see that site. It's a vacant lot with a fence along the on the shoreline side.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Lester. Okay. Director Douglas, anything else before we...
You've been hearing mixed messages on that Cannery Row project, but they have submitted a request for continuance, but we understand from them that it's conditional, and we don't accept conditional continuances like that. So they'll have to make their case to you tomorrow, and you'll have to decide how you want to deal with it, which may include going forward tomorrow. Okay. They have a right to a continuance, but they haven't exercised that right because they've said, we want certain conditions to be met before you continue it. So my guess is that it's not going to be up tomorrow. So if you're going to do some rereading of the report tonight, I suggest you might want to do something else with your time. But I can't guarantee it.
Thank you, Director Douglas. Anyone else? If not... they'll be it for today, and we'll see everybody tonight at the reception and then back here tomorrow at 9.
It was the only one they knew. No, I was going to vote before I voted. So. No, but you know, if I'm not here 1 month, you'll know that was the answer. So you guys doing anything for lunch?
Well, you know, your timing's impeccable.
I always.
I gotta go get my bride.
Your bride?
The hotel, yeah. Here's that thing we talked about. Post walk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy to take care of this. I made my position clear about infrastructure and state parks in my interview. That's not how I was going to vote, but my position was pretty clear.
You had an hour.
Well, it was... Hey, Pat.